You are listening to The Unlabel It Effect. We gather here on the first day of each month to explore all things mental health. Let us be part of your support system to inspire and motivate you to take care of your well-being. We, Vivian, Rita, and myself, Melody, welcome you to our UE community. Hey, how is everybody?
Good, good. Okay, so if you are regular for the UE audience, hello, I'm Vivian, and then we're trying a very different format starting this year in 2024, is that we're going to be more intimate. We're going to just sit around, like three of us, what we've been doing since the start of our friendship, and we'll just talk about our day-to-day, like compared to before when we invited so many guests, which is so amazing to learn about their stories. We do realize that UE has slowly become like a routine, very operation focused, and it feels like less us.
Yeah.
We're really excited about this format, and I hope you'll love it too. So
yes,
let's dive right in. So how's everyone since the last season?
Oh, we actually took a little break, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like during from the last season to this, because we feel like we were all a little burnt out.
Yeah.
Considering we all have a full-time job and we all want to really make UE work.
Yeah.
We tried very hard to we tried very hard to make the UE operation or behind the scene operation very seamless, but it's a lot of effort because we actually do all of the editing, all the social media just by ourselves. So it was very time consuming. So we're really excited to try out this format of just being a little bit more casual,
raw,
authentic. So less editing, which hopefully will bring a lot more exciting content to our listeners.
For sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Rita?
Yeah, good.
You're actually the person who suggested this format, which I really appreciate.
I feel like this is also a good reminder for us that if we are doing something routinely and don't feel like ourselves anymore and feel like your intention is drifting away, it is really time to reflect what you're doing. And I feel like this is about UE. Yeah. I really like us catching up and sharing what's happening in our life and kind of put minds together to solve certain struggles in life. And what we're doing now is just turn on the recorder and record what we usually do in our personal life, you know?
Yeah.
This is what UE is about. That's why this new format is going to bring that back. And I love that. Yeah.
I appreciate both versions. I think like having guests is like a very new and fresh perspective from someone else that there's a lot of stories, a lot of things that we can figure out or we can learn from that person.
Yeah.
But this is more like our chat, our personal chats that we do anyway when we hang out. But I think it's just trying to articulate it we're just trying to articulate our conversations a little bit more so that the listeners can also hopefully resonate with us and understand our struggles, our stories, our challenges,
our chaotic life. Rita just talked about how her life was a bit sticky
the past 3 months. Yeah, I think the past year, and I guess the most recent reflection that I had was being away from your home country on your own, I feel I'm not as relevant to people in Hong Kong. Like I went back to a reunion with my uni girls, basically girls that I went to uni with. And I just felt like our mindset was a bit different and how we feel life and our lifestyle are a bit different.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to shift my mindset in a way that I feel more belong or I feel more comfortable being with them. I just felt quite off, to be honest, during that reunion. I just felt I didn't resonate with what they said.
Right.
And they didn't show curiosity of what my life was like in Australia as well. So I was like, did Melody has the same thing, like, you know, being away in London and you felt a bit disconnected or a bit, you know, just less of relevance to people here?
I think this is a good way to, that was a good example for me to think, oh, did I or have I ever been in situations that similar? Yes, in a way, but I kind of see it as
I don't see as certain people in a certain place. Mm. I feel like I felt distance yeah. or disconnected with certain people as we grow up.
Mm.
There are people that maybe it's to do with the pop culture, you know, like different culture in different places are different.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's because I was not there, or I've left London now for 3 years, and I still resonate with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are people that I certainly feel more distance, but I'm sure I don't put too much attention on the connection if I genuinely think that I have kind of grown apart with that person.
Mm.
I think when we had this conversation, or last time when you shared this incident, we were saying that even though maybe that friendship group, you feel more distanced or disconnected with that friendship group, we, as this friendship group, actually feels a lot stronger.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost like it's hard to maintain a friendship if you feel like people have grown apart.
Mm.
In a way.
Interesting. I think it's about your attachment towards that friendship more than, you know, whether they're right for you, like the mindset wise.
Yeah.
Because it's for me, now that I see people come and go, I really think that I don't have that much desire to like, oh, like this is sad that, you know, we grew apart. Like it's like I remember it's a change episode in our like first two seasons. And then I remember Melody mentioned that it's a natural filter.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then I think the interesting point is how could you like tune in emotionally to accept. Like, to accept that, okay, we're different now.
And I think it's also your desire of whether you want them in your life or how much do you want that relationship.
Yeah.
Mm. I think you naturally can feel it.
Like what do you really miss?
I feel like I have a tough time letting go of relationship, even they don't serve me anymore. Mm. I do feel like I have that trait. Mm. I hold on to the memories and precious memories that we have, the history.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just a bit of effort to, you know, go over dinner and stuff to keep them around.
Mm.
But then if I honestly ask myself, do I enjoy every minute of that reunion? Maybe not. And whether those people will send me a text, how are you doing, how are things going in Australia, while I was in Australia, I would feel, you know, this friendship served me because they genuinely care about my well-being.
Yeah.
But have I received such a text? Not really. So in hindsight, do I really, I think it's a bit harsh to say, do I really need this friendship? But I would say it's definitely lower in priority or in a it's like further distance from my core people, I guess. That's
how I see it sometimes is different relationships and different friendships, they serve different purposes in your life. So
for sure,
looks like in your situation that role, the role of that friendship has kind of shifted.
Yeah.
And in my perspective, you guys have become more and more important in my support system because we have a certain connection. We have a certain communication style that allows us to be supportive and be constructive, you know? So I think it's just different friendships changing and I think the purpose of each friendship would always change in life.
Yeah.
Because our priorities, our rhythm, our pace of life, you know, our pace of life.
I could really feel lately that my plate is so full and it's continually going to be more full.
Yeah.
And I just I cannot care that much about small. I'm not saying that your problem is small, but like those people that don't serve me anymore, I cannot try to maintain. I cannot be the only one that's trying to maintain it or want to grow with them if they are not giving me evidence that they are as well. And then I feel like I've been, and then I remember there was one point in my life, mine is a little bit different, my attachment is towards my old insecurities and I'm trying to solve it. through therapy. Thank you, my therapist. But it's like, I cannot care about those quote-unquote small things anymore because I don't have that capacity. Yeah. And then sometimes it's so sad to me that, like, okay, actually my capacity is pretty full all the time and I just cannot keep adding in. So I just need to do the hard thing to just say, no, I'm just not gonna maybe check in on my acquaintance. I cannot schedule drinks or dinner, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I completely resonate with that.
Yeah.
And I feel the same. I don't know if this feeling is good or bad. I think sometimes I think it's good because I know my priorities. But at the same time, I feel like, am I doing my best? Like, I sometimes I have that struggle, you know, because I feel so full on.
Yeah.
And there are friends or acquaintance that I would be like, oh, okay, I wish I kind of messaged them or I wish I hung out with them more. But actually, I was like, if I were to go back, I don't think I'll have time anyway. Mm. And even going forward, I don't think I have time right now, like considering all the stuff that's happening in my life. So sometimes I have that sense of guilt. But at the same time, I'll be like, I have to move on. I don't have time.
Is it about priority, though?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'd say, you make time for people. You don't really have time for people. You know, that's always my
mindset. Sorry, what? You make time for people.
You don't have time for them. It's not that time comes out naturally for people. You make time for them. Like, yeah, taking an active role.
Yeah.
Because I remember I came back to Hong Kong around, you know, half a year ago, just popping by Hong Kong. And I was just asking the girls, like, whom I met in the reunion, was like, oh, you know, catch up coffee, 1 or 2 hours. And they would come back to me saying that, oh, we're having a family now. We have our husband and, you know, in-laws to entertain. Mm. So we can't make time for that 1 hour coffee catch up. Mm. And I was like, I'm not living here and I don't feel there's effort. Mm. So I was actually a bit hurt, but I want to be understanding as well. Like, the world doesn't pause because you leave and you come back and resume it. So I just have to understand, you know, people have their life and while you're away, they do their stuff. And when you come back, people don't, you know, push their life because you come back. And I think I just want to, you know, sit with this.
Yeah, but don't take it too personally in a way, because that would make you feel like more hurt.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know,
just. Yeah.
It's interesting. You made me remind of something that my boyfriend mentioned. He was like, if you have more than 5 friends, you don't have any friends.
Oh, wow.
If you have more than 5 friends.
Yeah.
You don't have any friends.
Yeah.
As in, those 5 friends are not
quality.
Not
due because
to. Quality, like, over quantity for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Because imagine how much time we spent on maintaining this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So
it's not easy.
It's not easy. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, when my needs are not met, I will tell you guys. And then insecurities get stirred up. And then it's, you know, and then you get triggered sometimes.
Yeah.
Delayed.
Yeah. So, because both of you are not texters. You know, you don't like texting. So yeah. So that's why it's really hard to maintain such a long distance friendship. Yeah. And definitely it's our priority to, you know, to nurture this friendship.
I think there are two ways of, like, one, yes, we're not good texters, but in a way we are. At least I feel like you guys know that I'm more of a present person. Mm. When I'm with you, I'm with you. But then, do I need to work on my text problem? Yes. I do feel like, because it's to do with managing other people's expectations, right? Sometimes when I generally feel like I have a bad relationship with messages.
Yeah,
I don't, you mentioned. I get very overwhelmed when I see a lot of notifications and I'm just like, I cannot. And then I just, like, leave on the side. But when I have a little bit more capacity, I'll be like, okay, I need to remind myself to go through all the messages, because otherwise I've left people hanging for like a few days or even weeks. And it's really bad.
You've been having this problem for like what, for a long decade?
Not really, but I think
since WhatsApp is invented.
since life has been. No, I can't blame on life. No.
Yeah. You're that's stopping yourself to do it.
Yeah. I think it's just understand each other's communication style. If you are more like a phone person, just call her.
Yeah.
You know,
Do you call me?
I don't really, but I think I don't really, like, no, I don't pick up a phone and call you. But then we do have monthly catch up call, which we sometimes, kind of let it slip off, but we tried our best.
Yeah. But we know that we're here for each other. I think that's just like, it's a trust thing, but also like a, I guess like reassurance that we've built for each other, you know?
Mm.
I'm not worried too much, but I do not take it for granted, for sure. Yeah. I'm just saying just saying, I don't take you guys for granted, but I do feel like we understand that we're all having a pretty full-on life and we're all trying to, you know, make or build our future.
Yeah.
So we understand it.
Yeah. In a way. For sure. Mm. I think in relationship in general, it's just that you need to know what the other person needs from you.
Mm.
And you need to show that at least you try your best to fulfill it. And then I think that's it. Like, you don't really need to fulfill my needs as a friend, but then you let me know. So for example, Rita and I, we do impromptu video calls. Mm. Like sometimes when I really need her, she'll be like, okay, in 15 minutes, I'll give you. Mm. And then I was like, okay. And then vice versa. And then with Mel, like sometimes I know that she has dinner, she has family to attend to, but then she would squeeze in like, are you in Central? I can grab a drink for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, like I really appreciate that she tries. Like, even though it's like, oh, how are you doing? And I think it's that if you show, if you try, then that's really okay, I think, in a long term.
Yeah, I agree.
Not sure. Yeah. I think it's like I always feel that you guys are very genuine. Like, our love for each other is, like, very genuine. And we're very generous with it as well for each other, which it's something that I think it's hard to find in new relationships or new friendships, considering we've known each other for years.
Mm.
True.
And it's not that we can't find similar relationships, but this relationship is very special.
Mm.
Yeah.
But speaking of relationships, we actually wanted to explore the topic of when we meet someone new, especially in a romantic relationship, right? Mm. Like, how do you kind of break down that feeling of being more and more intimate with someone that you think is right? And how we built that relationship? Because I think with romantic relationship, it can go from being very sweet and cuddly and intimate to just, you know, arguing all the time. And like that transition of the relationship, like there's so many paths that people can go into, you know, once they've got to that comfortable position.
Yeah.
It kind of goes into different directions. And I think what we want to explore is how we got into, how should we say it? Like, do we want to explore how we handled or managed the relationship when we first met someone that we fancy to the comfortable stage? Or
I think it's welcoming someone new in your life and maintaining your own rhythm, your routine. Mm. The balance. I think it would be the balance. Mm. Like, how much do you decide to merge with the other person, and how much you want to, like, oh, this is my trait, or this is my hobby. So, you know, like boundaries in general. Mm. Just like how to navigate new relationships, I think. Mm. It's more accurate this way. Yeah. Mm. So let's start with you.
Yeah. I feel like every time when I welcome someone new in, like romantically, it would mess, like, every time.
It's very hard, actually.
It's very hard.
I think people underestimate this.
Yeah, I think it just, like, messes up with my whole routine. And it felt like I had no structure of my life, because my life was just all about, like, trying to make an effort to build a relationship with that person.
Yeah.
Not saying that I'll give up everything to try to get to know that person, but within my personal capacity or my personal life. So after work or on the weekends, I think at the beginning it was hard for me welcoming someone. It was exciting, but at the same time I felt like a sense of guilt, because things that I want to do for myself and my family, I have to move that task to some other time. And that was me acknowledging that, okay, the time or my schedule is a little off balance.
Would you resent that person, like building up resentment because of that? For example, if that for example, if that date doesn't go the way as you expected, would you resent that? I moved so much stuff because to make this happen and this doesn't go as well as I thought. Would you resent that, or actually just let it let it go?
I think it's a very conscious choice though. Like, it's my choice to wanting to go on a date with that person, and if it didn't go well, I tried it. You know, I don't.
It's so healthy.
I don't regret it because I chose it. I chose to go. You know,
I think it's in hindsight. That's a very valid question.
Sorry, but saying that, I don't go on dates that often
anymore. I mean, going on dates with your partner. That's what I meant.
Just spending time.
Yeah, spending date time. Night, that kind of stuff. For example, like he wanted a date night, but he has no energy at all. So he was like playing on his phone, doing things that he wanted to do. But actually, you consciously made time to make this date night happen. So would you kind of like, what are you doing?
But that is expectation misalignment.
Exactly. Like you expect a lot because you did a lot of side job to make this date happen. And before him, it's just a date night, which I want to do stuff that I want, like scrolling on my social media.
I have something interesting to add because it happened with me and my boyfriend. Because he had been having like such a busy schedule, and then like just one question before anything starts, like date night or a weekend together, just like, what do you want this weekend to look like? It's a quick casual question, and then I would say, I want to go to the beach in the morning, just a walk, and then I'd be happy for the rest of the weekend. So but then like he also made me realize that we want the same ultimate goal, which is to have a good time together. But then the definition is so different. Like he might be like, oh, I want to go to the city. I want to run errands with you. And if I didn't tell him that I want to go to the beach, oh my God.
Yeah, you would be like, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
Why are we running errands for you? that type of things. But then like, I gotta say, I'm not doing this constantly, but the few times that I did it, it worked so well.
I need to try this out because I do think it's to do with managing each other's expectations and also projecting what you want. You know, it's like kind of manifestation. You're trying to figure out and visualize how is your weekend going to look like.
For sure.
But I think going back to Rita's question, I think it's more like how you guys built the dynamic between the relationship, because Micah and I don't really have that issue. We have other issues, but I think maybe in your relationship, what you guys do, how you guys hang out is very different. So maybe you can share a little bit more like why you felt that way. Or why do you think the relationship, Is it like a constant thing? Is it like a constant dynamic that at dinner tables you guys would have one person being on their phone, one person trying to be present with the other person? Or like,
I think we got to a phase where we're pretty comfortable with us being in the same space but doing our own stuff. But sometimes I do think that, you know, kind of consumes quite a big chunk of our time. For example, him on his iPad gaming, and I was like, are you gaming while you're with me? I was like, how dare you? But for him, it's like, you know, this is a space that I feel very comfortable. I'm gaming, and my girlfriend is just right next to me doing her own stuff. He just liked that companionship. But for me, I want to do stuff with you. I want to go out and experience things with you. So definitely, you know, the expectation alignment is so important. So right now we do check in, like, if this gaming thing is annoying you, please let me know. I'm going to drop it right away. You know, so you just have to be more focal about your needs, because people don't read you, especially for kind of long-term partner. You just have to voice it up, and they are more than happy to entertain or kind of fulfill what's in your head, basically. You just have to put it in words, I guess.
So the key here is, what do you want your evening to look like? What do you want your weekend to look like?
This is actually really, and don't be complacent. Like, once you're in a very stable long-term relationship, you kind of be a bit lazy, I would say. You don't dress up and, you know, do stuff that much, that often anymore with one another. I think you just, you know, don't get too comfortable, too complacent in a relationship, you know, still make effort for each other.
Don't feel the butterflies anymore.
Exactly. Like, yeah, don't be lazy. Make effort for each other. I think that keeps the spark going.
Mm. Yeah. I think the struggle with my relationship with my boyfriend is more that because both of our jobs are very, very intense.
Very, very intense.
Mm. So, usually when we want to have just like a calming, nice, chill dinner, we would both be a little tired. So all we want is just be there for each other and that's it. And we just enjoy the meal because we're just both like,
yeah. That's why that's a bit different. For me, over dinner, we have to talk, you know, but for him, we don't really have to talk all the time. It's just enjoying our meal with each other. That's it. But for me, why are you not talking? You're a bit quiet. And I was like, no, I'm not thinking about anything, actually.
Just going blank.
Exactly. I'm zoning out.
But is this a new part, the beginning part of the relationship?
No, it's like the comfortable stage, like after two, 3 years.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Because now we're off topic, but it's okay. I just want to mentally make sure. Okay, so we were talking about like in the, like more of a, after the honeymoon went away.
Yes.
Okay, exactly. Sorry. Mm. Keep going.
Yeah. I think can talk about your relationship more.
Because like a bit of background information, you are in a kind of a fresh new relationship.
Yeah.
So how's the navigation?
We're just comfortable.
Is it choppy? How's your sail?
I would say it's been a nice journey, but I'm really excited to calm down a little bit.
Right. Have you got the balance? Yeah.
I think so. Mm. I think at first it was, of course, like very lovey-dovey, as most relationships. And then when we start to really be more day-to-day, juggle each other's schedule all the time, that is a pain in the ass. Like these kind of things, like insecurity starts to show, and when we're more comfortable with each other, when we're triggered, we no longer just hide it and we would just shut down. And then, you know, something like that. And then now I think in the process, it triggered so many old wounds of mine, I would say. And luckily I got back into therapy, I think 2 months ago. And then I really worked with her so intensively, like once a week. And then I tried like different therapy methods like EMDR. I tried something called IFS, which is internal family system, which I can share a little bit more later. And then I really see him as not just a mirror, but then he kind of challenges me so much that I see so clearly about myself, which is so intense. So it actually made me really wonder, like, what kind of relationship that I want, you know? Mm-hmm. Do I really want someone that pushes me that hard, or I want like a chill one, someone that would never trigger me? And he's like a walking trigger, which like it's and then it's a narrative that you create in your head. So I'm so mindful of my thoughts right now, thanks to him. Like one of my bad habit, like stem from childhood education or just negative beliefs, I always find faults in relationships. So for example, like the example that you just raised, you're on your phone, which he's like blank, right? He's
exactly.
Like, he just wants to chill. It's a Friday night probably. And then I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. In my head, like,
something's wrong with our relationship.
Yeah. Alarm, alarm.
Yeah.
He doesn't love me anymore. He's not putting in effort. So, and then everything that he does after would just prove it.
You interpret his behavior in your own way.
Yeah. But then compared to in the beginning of the relationship, you won't, because he was giving me so much attention. So it is hard for women, I think, to navigate, because when I talk to different girlfriends of mine, like, it's actually very common. Like, that insecurity will come up, because now that, at least for me and my group, like, when he got you, quote unquote, like he would just be lazy and then you would be scared, like, okay, is this gonna be 5 years? Like, but are you gonna stop trying? And then it was just that that narrative just goes on and on. And then it's like, it's up to me. Like, it's up to me to rewrite it. Voicing up, it's one thing. But voicing up, I also realized that if he's already trying his best and you keep like, I want you to do this, I need you to do this for me to feel happy, he's gonna feel so stressed. Like, so I think it's more of the inner work that is really draining me the past month or two. But then now I feel like, okay, it's really me. Like, it's really your head.
Yeah.
So
I think do not voice up the your own interpretation of his behavior. You know, check in with him from the get-go. Then afterwards, the interpretation could be avoided. So I'm thinking, rewind a little bit. You were talking about he's a walking trigger. You think triggering you a lot of insecurities and stuff. Could you see yourself after being triggered and kind of reveal your inner self? Could you work towards a healed self where he wouldn't be that triggering anymore? Could you 100%. See yourself there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't see it before. Now I see it. But it's like you need to be patient.
Yeah. Oh my God, you need to be so patient that sometimes I'm like, fucking growth. It's like,
I love you, but I hate you.
No, but interestingly, it's like, it's never about him. It's
so
really...
So far, all the triggers that he has triggered you, you have managed to find somewhere or a space within those triggers that you feel like they belong to you. So they were all within you.
Oh, I think therapy helped because, so let me talk a little bit about EMDR. So, you know, our REM sleep, it's the sleep stage that before we go into deep sleep. So it's how we process the information we got exposed to during the day. So sometimes when you're like, okay, I will sleep on it, for example, that's what REM does for you. It's to process information. And EMDR basically is that they try to simulate the same thing when you're awake. So you look at the screen, it's pitch black, and then there's a light, and then your therapist will be controlling the speed of the light, and then your eyes are just moving like constantly. And then basically you will use a recent trigger, whatever memory that you have, and then you just look at the light. So she'll continuously ask guiding questions like, what comes up, you're doing great, what kind of emotions. And I just time and again, I did it for maybe like four weeks now, and every time that I use a trigger, maybe my partner triggered me something, it's like very small, you know, we're on a couch and then we got mad, blah blah blah, and I was like, he heard me. So I used that, and then I did that, and like my childhood shit came out, and it's never about that trigger. It's always about something that's
unresolved from your childhood,
and it's always a negative belief that you have in your head. So when that comes up, it's like the mud, right? You stir up the mud, and then you really process it, you filter it with a nice water filter, and then now it's clear. So before, it's clear water from the service, but you never really, you know, address the problem. So I think that really helped. I do believe that if I didn't have therapy, the past 2 months, I would be in a very different place right now.
Like, speaking of triggers, sometimes, well, at least just in my romantic relationship, sometimes I feel like the triggers were so unnecessary, but at the same time, a perspective of mine would be like, no, triggers mean something. You need to try to understand the triggers. But then it's actually very tiring every time to try to break down, why did I get triggered and why did I get so mad? And I realized that this current relationship that I am in, romantic relationship that I am in, I get triggered in a way that the angry version of me had never, like, this version of me had never came up before. And I was like, why did... No, I don't know whether it's nice or not, but I could get really mad.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been that mad before.
Oh,
until I got
into this. Is it because of him triggering you, or is it because of your plate being too full? You're always on edge.
I think it's a mix of my plate being too full, but also he has a very strong character.
Yeah.
And he can be... His voice is extremely loud when he wants to. Mm. So sometimes it's almost like I'm already struggling mentally, and then somebody talking to you in a very loud frequency in a loud way, it kind of made me feel very angry, but also emotional. Not necessarily good or bad, but just very emotional. Mm. And then it's mad.
It's just not how you want to address the conflict.
But I was also thinking whether it's to do with my own maybe self-belief, maybe negative beliefs from the past, that when somebody's raising their voice, that equals to me being attacked.
Mm. Right.
This is like a question in my mind for a while recently.
Mm. That's nice.
I'm not sure, have I figured that out yet? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to explore the idea of whether I have associated these two things together. Mm-hmm. So raising voices and being attacked.
Mm. Yeah. Mel,
personally, because sometimes I feel like he would raise his voice.
Mm.
The message or the intention was actually good.
Yeah.
But then I saw it as, why are you talking to me like this? Or why are you raising your voice? Like, you're attacking me. Mm. I was like, this is not okay. But, you know, bless him. Sometimes he would be like, I was just, you know, saying it for the sake of your own good. But maybe he said it in a way that I didn't receive it well. But why didn't I receive it well?
I think that is really up to your choice, what you tolerate. Because, yes, being triggered, it can be a good thing. But also there was a time where I was thinking to myself, like, okay, I am tired, I am burned out.
Mm.
Do I really need to be constantly triggered? Yes. And that is a choice that I have to make.
Mm.
You know, so you can obviously tell him, like, okay, I don't like you talking loudly, but if he continues to do that, are you okay with it?
Because the same message and same intention could be delivered in another way, which is better received by you.
Yeah.
You know, so why he has to pick the way that wouldn't sit well with you?
And I think this is to do with the growth of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time when I get triggered, I tell him, he gets better. But, perhaps I also need to fine tune my way of receiving things. Maybe I have been way too sensitive and taking things way too personally.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
This is something that I also need to adjust.
Yes.
But there are times that after me being triggered, in my journal, I would be like, this is not what I need right now in my life, because I already have this, that I need to focus on. Do I really need the relationship? And sometimes I'll be like, there are so many mindsets and so many ideas or so many perspectives that would pop up in my mind. And it's almost like it's hard work to gain clarity within your own mind when life is currently very chaotic. I don't know if you guys feel the same sometimes or similar when life is just like, oh, I don't have time to slow down. Everything is like, okay, like getting this done and then going to work and then trying to sort my family out. Like, so many things going on. Mm. Trying to meet up with a friend that I love, but knowing that I'm running low on battery.
Mm.
You know, like, so many things. And then when you just get triggered, the first thing that I would commonly ask myself is, okay, what do I need to cut out in my life right now? Or, okay, what can I do to calm myself down? You know, because when life is so full on, it's similar to running a business, right? You either cut costs or cut whatever you need, or you expand.
You outsource. Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys experience these kind of like struggles or, you know.
Two things I want to address. First thing is, I think nobody ever needs a relationship, like, romantically. I don't think...
You think so?
Yeah. I really do think so. I think that person is... first of all, like in the beginning of the relationship, it's a bonus because it both of you should know yourself and then know, have your life organized. Like nobody should need anybody. That's how I see it. But then in a romantic relationship is what can I create together with him? Like what kind of lifestyle, maybe create a family, you know, like that is something. But I, to be honest, I don't need that. I don't need a family. It would be nice.
I do think relationship is a, it's definitely not a must have.
Yeah.
When I have it, I definitely need it to make my life better in a way. When I'm having a negative 20 day, I need him to hold space for me. You know, that I might be on edge. I'm giving you a heads up that I might not, you know, I might not receive what you're saying in the way that you intended to. And I need you to understand that it's not you. It's me being very on edge right now. And he has to hold space for me and do some breathing exercise with me when my head is not straight. You know, I need this kind of trait in a person. And for me, I think I will have a certain period of time to see whether that person could provide something like that. Especially when two strangers come together. It's very different, you know? Everything would be so different. And whether my expectation and needs could be met by this guy. And if it's like 1 year, 2 years, and I still cannot see the tendency of him providing that space, and I would be constantly triggered, I cried a lot physically, I felt drained, I would say that person is not for me, you know? So I'm thinking, it brings me to a question where I want a partner that's a mirror of me or whether it's an opposite of me.
What do you want?
I would definitely choose the opposite of me. Because I live a hurried life, not intentionally, but definitely a super hurried life, which is very stressful. I want my day to live it to the fullest, but at the same time, I feel exhausted. I'm always in this battle every day. And
sorry, what does it mean by opposite of you? So like
I would say
your traits. So, yes. So you're rushed, he's relaxed.
Exactly.
Okay.
And when I'm triggered, he won't be triggered because I'm triggered.
But you can't control that. That's not even opposite.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, like a trait. Like because someone is pretty laid back, they wouldn't be as easily triggered. Yeah.
But I but I think that is like being aware that when people get triggered, it's always, it's not about like me either. So I think that is maybe not just the laid back, it helps,
yeah,
but then that it doesn't mean that non-laid back people will not be able
maybe
to
maybe not
do
as
that.
Sensitive is that a better way to put it?
Yeah.
I guess not as sensitive, because I do take things personally. I am a pretty sensitive person. I read the room a lot, I read people a lot to see whether I've done something that upset people. I just constantly analyze people to see whether they like me, they don't like me, you know, that kind of trait. And I need a person to just, you know, calm my mind, saying that I'm not mad, I'm not angry, you can go to bed. You know, I'll be like, okay.
So very reassuring.
Exactly. And over explaining, because my head goes to, in different directions when something happens. And I need someone to reassure me that those are not going to happen. We'll get to it together as a team when we cross the bridge.
Okay. You know? I want to add on to that because I think my partner is slightly different. So, so he's like, he's both a mirror and the opposite of me, but we also share a lot of similar values. But then when it comes to my triggers, he is so used to just do whatever he feels like. He never, he was never the type to over communicate. So, and he's very playful as well. So he doesn't take things personally, but then when I get triggered, I want someone, I thought I need someone to like, baby, it's okay. Like, let's breathe.
You know, box like breathing. Box breathing.
Yeah. But then he's not that type of person. So I was wondering how the percentage, I'm a data girl, right? So how of a, like, what percentage do you want your partner to meet your needs? Because
in my case, he wants the best for me. Mm-hmm. So he would actually ask me guiding questions to solve my triggers. So it's just not the way that I want him to do. And he's learning for sure. Mm. Like he, I see like he's trying to be softer with me. But when he asks me those questions, I would feel like unsupported. I would feel challenged. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm already in a vulnerable place. Like, why do you have to do that?
I know.
And then, and it's like, sometimes I would like really wonder back to my, our question, like what kind of, what kind of relationship do you want? Mm. You want a really coddling, supportive one, or one that would really push you for growth? And then if it's a spectrum, where is it?
Mm. To be honest, I think this is more like a fluid. It is a fluid thing.
Yeah.
At times, I want my partner to be soft, but at times, I want him to be very clear and assertive with, okay, this is what you need to do right now. I know it's the best for you. You know, I think it depends on what it is. Mm. Like, because there are times that my head is already a mess and I cannot navigate.
Yeah.
So at that point, I would appreciate him just giving me a clear direction and with reasons behind. And I really appreciate those moments. But then at times I just felt very vulnerable. I just want somebody to be really soft and talk to me, you know, try to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think it's,
what if the partner cannot give you that though?
We need to educate him.
That's a great statement. We need to educate him.
But then how do you, okay, you can educate them, or you guys can figure out together. But during that moment when you're vulnerable and you cannot and you couldn't get the support that you need, it's actually, it hurts.
It does.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's also about experiencing different ups and downs, and they actually learn your pattern. It takes time for those.
It does. Yeah.
For those to come into place. Because I remember there was time that I got constantly triggered at work because of burning out and stuff.
Yeah.
And I immediately would pick up the phone to phone my partner, crying, pacing and stuff. Yeah. And he would be like, stop pacing. Look at me. Let's breathe. And he would do that. But afterwards, when I'm all calmed, he would have the little mentoring, like saying, I need you to build the resilience of you at work. Like, you cannot just pick up the phone and rely on me to calm you down. You have to do it to yourself. You know, is it a time management? Is it you saying too much yeses? If it is the problem, I want you to be independent in solving your stuff at work. Because that's your work and you are worthy to be there. You belong there. You have the ability to cope with things. Don't jump on the call right away and just dump things on me because it's not healthy.
And it's not his job.
Exactly. And I have to get stronger and go through those moments alone to build the resilient tank. And that's what I have to do. So I do appreciate, like you said, it's flexible, the spectrum. But they have to observe when to go in different mode.
It's like learning and observing the cues.
Exactly.
Of each other. Yes. And yeah, I think it's a journey for any couple to really try to understand that of each other. It's challenging, and I'm sure most people would experience a lot of maybe arguments or triggers or, you know, disagreement to start off with.
The alignment part is the most challenging part in the relationship.
I think sometimes it's like when you get so triggered and angry and like frustrated, it's really hard to let go of that, like, emotions. It's like a lot of breathing, but also I still feel very angry, like I want to punch something. I don't know what it is, like
punched a pillow.
Sometimes it's hard to release that emotions because it felt very heavy and very clouded.
But then when I was talking about like me feeling a little bit emotionally burned out, I have a really good friend, Alex, and she reminded me, like, focus on things that matter. You know, it's like, okay, you got triggered, and she knows that I'm constantly trying to heal like my past trauma. But then she's like, is it backfiring your relationship? Like, your over analytical mind, as I know a lot of women or men are, So it's like how far you go.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think it was a really good reminder for me. I was like, okay, like we did therapy, so maybe you're good for 2 days. You don't need to think about your past that much. Like it's, you have the power. And then sometimes I felt like, oh, I wanted to heal. That's why I need to put in time. I need to put in effort. I'm burning out, but I need to do it. Mm. But then that was like a box that I put myself in. Mm. And then I was so proud of my relationship the other day. Like we were arguing because we wanted to connect with each other, but then we just couldn't. And then we were pissed because we were pointing fingers like, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. And then towards the point, I was like, for the first time, I didn't cry. I didn't go to that sad version of me. I was actually pissed. I was angry. And then I sent him like a really angry / funny voice note. I was like, this is a stupid fight. And then it was just like, this is not what matters. What matters is that we love each other. Mm. Da, 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 da. And then we both just laughed our asses off. Yes. Like it was such a, like,
I think you need to have like this witty sense, or, you know, this humor.
Yeah. Humor is so important in a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny because it circles back to what Mel just said. Like when your plate is so full, you really need to prioritize.
Yeah.
Are you going to be angry because he didn't make plans for you for one weekend? You know, like it's like these kind of things really make me feel like, okay, I'm seeing myself, like a lot of negative self-belief.
Sometimes I catch myself in doing what I would label myself sometimes as the wrong one. Or maybe I could have done more at that arguments to end it earlier so that we can enjoy more time together in harmony.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, I think that there was an incident last week that we were just arguing over very, very, very small things. Mm. And then I was like, this is not worth it because we only had this evening during this week to really have a nice sit-down dinner. And we decided 5 minutes in, throw an argument. And then I was like, this is just so not worth it. I am but so what tired.
What fuels an argument? Like, I want to know why it wouldn't
I forgot. I don't really remember.
Was it a communication style, what he said, that kind of keep on fueling it?
I think part of it, maybe small part of it, was that we were both so tired as well. So we were both having kind of low capacity on any triggers. So when small things triggered, we just both like flipped.
Mm.
And I was just like, shit.
Mm.
I don't have capacity and time for this.
Mm.
Yeah. But we decided to kind of like cool down a little bit separately and then we found a time to kind of like talk about it. And sometimes when, most times we try to break things down on the same day so that we don't kind of sleep on it. But I think that was a very special case that we kind of felt like it was so minor and we were both so tired. We didn't have the capacity and we both just kind of like slept.
Mm.
And then the next day we talked about it and it was actually better because we were both a lot more calm.
Yeah.
The REM.
Yeah. And it was just so small.
Exactly.
You know, it's not worth it.
It goes back to what Viv said about what matters.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom actually taught me how to let go of some thoughts that actually don't serve you.
Mm.
Is whether that argument, you looking back after 5 years, does that argument actually gonna matter to you then? If it is about like major value alignment or future life building, then definitely bring it up, talk about it. But if it doesn't, small stuff, let it slide.
Because
you're talking about, if that's the one, you're talking about decades of relationship.
Yeah.
That small incident really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's holding a humor as well. You know, having the space for some dry humor, whatever it is, just to, you know.
I see two different things. I see like, yes, part of it is like focus on things that matter, which is if you really love that person, if that person is good for you. But part of it, the other part is the self part, right?
Mm.
So it's like if you get triggered, is there something that you need to work on yourself? But one thing, because I was thinking when Mel was like, oh, it's not worth it. I was like, if I'm triggered and my partner said it's not worth it, Oh my god.
That's like I'll be throwing gasoline in fire.
I'll be Jack from Mr. Incredibles.
Like, yeah.
Just boom.
I think that incident was that we both knew that it was just something so minor that shouldn't have triggered us.
Yeah.
It was like, come on, why didn't I know?
Yeah.
And then there's this, there's a technique that I use now that is pretty helpful. My therapist taught me that, is that when I get triggered, so he could do like a small thing, like maybe he didn't hold my hand when we got off the ferry. Like that small thing. And I'd be like,
he just wanted to hold my hand.
He used to hold my hand all the time, you know? And then I would just go on and on. So I would say out loud, not even in my head, I need to say out loud to him, okay, I think this, what my negative self-belief is, because we actually worked out that I have two very solid ones. One is that I'm not worthy of love, and the other one is I'm not good enough. Mm. So it always goes back to that. And then I would tell him, like, the fact that you did this triggered my first step, negative self-belief, that I'm not worthy of love because I just think that you don't love me anymore. Oh, and then
I'll hold your hand.
And walk to the ferry with you.
And then the second part is, what kind of emotions am I feeling? So I feel alone, I feel unwanted, I feel blah, blah, blah. The third one is really insightful. The third one is, where do you feel this emotion? So most of the time is my chest. Some people can be stomach. Some people can be your limbs, your head, your neck, your back, whatever. And then once you locate that, you actually not only tell the other person this is what's happening to me, because he would not understand, he'll be like, huh, you know.
Yeah.
And then also, like, when I label my emotions and I am aware where I feel it, I'm more attentive to it. So I'm like, okay, like, and then I would put my hand on my chest if that's where I experience it.
I feel a lot of my emotions in my stomach.
That's actually a lot of anger, I think,
a lot of stomach.
Yeah.
Emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Rachel?
Chest, usually, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I burn out, it tightens and I just have shortness of breath. That's when I know I'm very, very anxious.
When I'm burnt out, it's more like hard to breathe.
Mm.
But when I'm stressed or angry, as you said, most of the time it's my stomach. I just feel so tense with my stomach.
I think our body is like super intelligent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are you guys hungry? I'm really hungry.
Yeah, we can talk about body next time. So, okay. This is great.
Fun time. I think it was such a fun time.
Yeah.
I like this.
I'm excited to do more
feeling
of this.
Feeling it. Yeah.
Okay. Tam Jai noodles.
Yeah. Yes. Let's try to order.
Oh, I miss it.
Yeah. If they have it, if we can get it.
Okay. Bye, Yuli audience.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.